Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General produced a stunning report. In fact, even the title is stunning. It's called Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation. And it makes the case that Americans are lonelier now than they have ever been in the past. And this loneliness is negatively impacting our health. Here are some of the findings of this report. From 2003 to 2023, social interaction decreased 24 hours per month for the average American. Time spent with friends decreased 20 hours a month. Now, the decline is greatest for ages 15 to 24. Time spent with friends has been reduced by nearly 70%. In 1990, 27% of Americans had three or fewer close friends. In 2021, almost half of Americans, 49% of Americans, had three or fewer close friends. 1960, 13% of Americans lived alone. 2022, 29% of Americans lived alone. To sum up with this report in just a few words, Americans need a friend. And I've got good news for you. You've got a friend. You've got the best friend anyone could ever have. The title of the hymn and our sermon series for February says it all. What a friend we have in Jesus. During February, we will be talking about the topic of friendship. And through this sermon series, I want to share with you the important and comforting and wonderful truth that your best friend in the world is Jesus. This morning, we look at Luke 4, where Jesus heals many people, showing his compassion and showing us that Jesus is the friend to those who are hurting. Number one, friends help those who are hurting. Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. So, what is a friend? Is a friend just someone you have a lot in common with, someone who shares some of the same interests and hobbies? The Bible tells us that there's a lot more to friendship than that. And it teaches us a whole bunch about friendship. A friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. That's a great definition of friendship. A friend is someone who loves you all the time. No matter what. A friend is someone who loves you, especially in times of adversity, in times of difficulty, or suffering, or pain, times when we're hurting. But we need to be more specific about what we mean by love. The Bible doesn't say a friend likes you at all times. That's an emotion, and emotions change, sometimes on a day-to-day basis. The Bible says a friend loves at all times. And according to the Bible, love is much more than just an emotion. Love is a matter of choices. Love is positive action that helps someone else. In fact, if you want the best definition of love ever given, just reread our epistle lesson for today, 1 Corinthians 13. Notice it defines love this way. Love is patient. Love is kind. That's a pretty good definition of love. It's a pretty good definition of friendship. A friend is patient with us even when we're not at our best. And a friend is kind to us. They help us in our times of need. They don't just talk the talk, they walk the walk. They walk beside us when we are going through hard times. A friend is someone who helps us when we are hurting. They help. That's the kind of friend we need. A friend who is patient, a friend who is kind. And that's exactly the kind of friend Jesus is. Point two, Jesus heals the hurting. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Luke 4, verse 40. Now in our gospel lesson, we see Jesus helping and healing the hurting over and over again. So we have our trivia night coming up in a couple weeks. We should probably practice for that, so let's just do some Bible trivia for you. The category is miracles. Which kind of miracles did Jesus do the most? Well, as recorded in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many times did Jesus turn water into wine? Once, right? How many times did Jesus walk on water? Once, right? Be careful, this is a tricky one. How many times did Jesus feed thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread and some fish? The answer to that one is twice. First, the feeding of the 5,000, and that was followed by the feeding of the 4,000. So, last one. How many times did Jesus heal people? The answer is lots. Lots and lots of times. Kind of too many for us to count. and probably many more than we have recorded in the Bible. We don't even have a number of how many people Jesus heals here in Luke chapter 4 on that one particular night, but it was a lot of people. Of all his miracles, Jesus healed people more than anything else. Why? Because of his great splenismi, his gut-wrenching compassion for people. Jesus loves people, and he helps them when they are hurting. That's who he is. On this occasion in Capernaum, and I think this is just an average day in Jesus' life, he was incredibly busy. He started the day by preaching in the synagogue. Remember, Jesus is our prophet. He speaks the word of God to us. During his preaching, he's interrupted by a man possessed by a demon. Well, Jesus is our king, so he confronts the demon and casts it out of the man. And then he returns to Peter's house to find Peter's mother-in-law with a fever. Jesus rebukes the fever, and the fever leaves her. Now, it's almost sundown, and Jesus is ready to just settle down and retire after a busy day. Retire for the night. Nope, not going to happen. There's a knock at the door. Knock, knock. Who's there? The whole town. The whole town brought all their sick and hurting to Jesus, hoping that he could heal them. You know, this would have been an easy one. You know, Jesus could have just said, hey, come back tomorrow. He could have just slammed the door in their face and say, come back tomorrow during office hours. Did he do that? No. Jesus went out into that huge crowd and healed each and every person. Again, listen how Luke describes it. And when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. I love that Luke points out, Luke the doctor points out that Jesus laid his hands on each and every person. You know, Jesus is God. He could have just snapped his fingers and said, you're all healed, and then went back to bed. But that's not Jesus. Jesus goes to each and every person. He listens to each person. He touches each person, and he heals each person. He could have done a mass healing for the whole crowd, but Jesus wants to do more than just heal these people. Jesus wants to love these people. And the way you love people is one person at a time. That's who Jesus is. He loves people. And because of that, he heals people. Jesus heals the hurting. He healed the crowd. And he also heals us. Jesus heals us physically, spiritually, and eternally. Let's talk about physically first. Exodus 15, verse 16 says, I am the Lord who heals you. Some of you might be thinking to yourself, you know, I wish I could have been in that crowd. I wish I'd like to receive healing from the Lord. Well, guess what? You have. The Lord has healed you. He's healed you physically, and he's healed you spiritually. You might be thinking, well, I've never been healed physically from the Lord. I guarantee that you have. In fact, if you've ever experienced any healing at all, it was the Lord that healed you, because that's what the Bible says. Exodus 15, 16. I am the Lord who heals you. Healing is always a gift from the Lord, just like all the other good gifts which we receive from his gracious hand. Anytime we experience any sort of healing, in truth, it is the Lord who is actually doing the healing. Now, we all need healing because of sin. When sin came into the world, it brought pain and suffering and death with it. So because of sin, we will all get sick, we will all suffer, and we will all die. So, all of us are hurting. Guess what? Jesus is the friend of the hurting, and he heals us. He is the Lord who heals us. Now, the Lord most often heals us in three ways. First of all, he created for us and gave us a body that heals itself. If you think you've never seen a miracle, you just need to look in the mirror. Your body is a miracle, and it is a gift from the Lord, free of charge. He designed it with a powerful immune system and the ability to heal itself from most illnesses. These are not accidents. They are gifts from the Lord. You see, you are exposed to all sorts of viruses, bacteria, all sorts of bad things each and every day. And your miraculous body usually fights them off. On occasion, when we fall ill, our body restores itself after a few days of rest. That's a miracle. That kind of healing is a gift from the Lord, just like any other gift of healing. Exodus 15:16. I am the Lord who heals you. Now, sometimes our bodies need extra help. So in those times, God gives us even more amazing gifts. Not to fight against those, but to work in concert with them. These gifts are called doctors, nurses, medical teams, hospitals. These are all gifts from the Lord. People devoted to the science and art of healing are gifts from the Lord who do amazing things every day. And we give thanks to the Lord for these wonderful gifts. Now, along with the gifts of our miraculous body, our amazing immune system, the gifts of hospitals and medical teams, God gives us another gift, and that's called the gift of prayer. The ability to bring our needs and the needs of people we care about to the Lord. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. James 5:13. Pray for one another that you may be healed. James 5:16. Notice these gifts all work together. It's not a matter of should I go to the doctor or should I pray. The answer is both. Of course you should do both. Medicine and prayer are both good and wonderful gifts from the Lord. And we should make use of both as needed. But all is when we pray, it is with this understanding. From the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done, Matthew 6:10. Whenever we always pray, thy will be done. God's will be done, not our own. We always put the final answer into God's hands. The Lord still heals us. It is the Lord who heals us. He does that for us physically, but more importantly, he does that for us spiritually. Our greatest need for healing is spiritual healing, the forgiveness of our sins. Sin is the ultimate cause of pain, suffering, and death, and Jesus came to heal us body and soul. Jesus healed us spiritually through his death and resurrection. As Peter says, quoting Isaiah 53, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. By his wounds, you have been healed. Physical healing is a great blessing from the Lord, but our greatest need is spiritual healing. And that's already been accomplished by the blood of Jesus Christ, shed for our sins on the cross. Spiritual healing is more important because it leads to the ultimate healing, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Revelation 21, verse 4, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order of things has passed away. Any physical healing we receive on this earth is by nature a temporary healing. It delays the inevitable. Because of sin, all of us will one day die, right? 10 out of 10 people die. That's the nastiest statistic I know, but it's a true one. All the people Jesus healed in his ministry eventually would get sick again and die. Even Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead, also, at some point, became ill and died. That's why the most important healing is spiritual healing, because it brings eternal life in heaven with our best friend, Jesus. Jesus's plan for us is not that we stay here in this world of pain, suffering, and death forever. That would be cruel to do to someone you love. Jesus has a much better plan, to take you somewhere where there is no more pain, no more suffering, no more death. There is only one place like that, and that is Jesus' home, heaven. There will be no more death, no mourning, or crying, or pain. The old order of things has passed away. One day, when we draw our last breath, we will enter into that place that our best friend Jesus has prepared for us. A perfect home where there is no more suffering or death. There's only God's love, God's peace, and God's joy forever. What a wonderful plan. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.